Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Whoever is with you and have your own personal time of communion. But today, we get to do it corporately. And so the servants will be handing out the elements. Please hold on to them until we can all be together. And in the meantime, while they're passing this out, I'm going to read out of John, book of John. And this is John 13. And it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, something to look at here is that it says that he washed his disciples' feet. That didn't say that that it excluded anybody. And he knew that there would be someone that would betray him. He knew that there would be someone that would disown him. And then that eventually, other than one, they would all desert him. And yet he still loved them to the end. He didn't say, Judas, since you're going to be the guy that betrays me, you know, stand off to the side and I'm not washing your feet. He loved them to the end. And that's something that I think that all of us should really look at. And sometimes we say, well, can Jesus really love me with the things that I've done, with even the things that I will do? We're not even sure of what tomorrow would bring. And yet to know that his love is unconditional and he's going to love you, and you will always, he'll always be there to forgive the things that you do. But because he loves us so much, there's no way that we could stand back and not give him every little bit of love that we have for him. And that's what it's all about. It's not how much we can love him. It's how much he loves us. And so I hope everybody's got your elements in your hand. And the word says that on that night, that Jesus was with his disciples and they had that Last Supper. And even though he knew all those things that would come to pass, what does he do? He spends his last moments teaching them, praying for them, just letting them know who they were to him. And as he told them, he says, as they took the Last Supper, he says that he gave thanks and he took the bread. He says he broke that bread and gave thanks. And he said, this is my body, which was broken for you. Please take that bread. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said that this was in the new covenant. He had made a new covenant. And this was the blood that he would shed on that cross. And he did that for us. So please take the cup. Thank you, Lord. Church, may you receive all the love that Jesus has for you. May you not just take this act of sharing in communion as just another ritual, because it's not. Yeah, you receive that body that was broken for your healing and the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, please pass all the cups to the ends there and they'll pick them up from you. And what we're going to do next, I guess you're all hopefully aware of what day today is. This is the 4th of July. And today we celebrate the birth of our nation. And man, we are 245 years old. And I thought Pastor Henry was old. Yeah. But now it's my turn to pick on him. Right, Rick? Anyway, I made a few notes that I'm going to read off concerning the 4th of July. It says, we have gone through great change, some not for the better. Even so, we are still the greatest nation on earth. It was established on godly principles, and His light still shines upon it. So I want to read the last verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. Now, you hear the Star-Spangled Banner in sporting events, or surely you will hear it over TV or radio today. But it's something that it's part of our history. And I know that most of you all know that first verse, you know, oh, say, can you see? But what I want to read is the last verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. And so it says, oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the foe's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may our heaven rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, for our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. Now this was written for a physical battle against Britain. But today this stands true for the spiritual battles that we face in our country. And it's not about who sits in the Oval Office, but who sits on the heavenly throne. We are still a nation under God. And we, the church, are its hope as we stand in His honor. I would like us to stand so we can recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And who can I get here? You. Come over here. Uh-huh. You can stand right next to me there. Right about here. Okay? Yeah? Uh-huh. If you would, please. Thank you. You just hold it out. No, it's okay. Like that. Yeah, there you go. If you would place your hands upon your heart and please recite with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you. Please remain standing, and I'm going to ask Pastor Henry. He's going to come up here and lead us in a prayer for our nation. Thank you. Well,
I like the Pledge of Allegiance with the last word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Just got a scripture. How many of you know that a nation, any nation, I don't care which nation it is, if it's going to be a godly nation, it's held by the people that are in that nation. How many of you know that?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If it's going to be a, you know, one nation under God, it's got to be under a nation that the people of God be who they are. Amen. Be exactly who they are. People of God. People that will stand for Jesus, stand for the God that they serve. Amen. It is a nation, one nation under God. I believe this nation is blessed. How many say amen?
Amen.
How many feel blessed in this nation?
Yes.
How many know we've gone through some stuff? Amen. Mm-hmm. We've gone through a lot of stuff, not just lately, but always. This nation has fought battles. You know why? Because it is a nation under God.
Amen.
And I just want to remind you of a scripture. I remember a few years ago, I was standing and I was driving home, and there a tragedy had happened, and there was a radio station that was asking people to why they thought this tragedy was happening. It was Columbine tragedy. Remember that when all these students died, and they were asking people to call in and say whose fault was it? And I mean, praise God, man. I mean, you know, it's crazy. But I heard this young man on there, and he was saying some things, and I go, man, that guy's got it together. And when I got home, I found out it was my son that had called in. And he said, let me tell you whose fault this is. And he put it this way. This is the way he put it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. And then it says, and I will heal their land. Can I tell you, the nation, I don't care what nation, it's held in the hands of those that love God.
Amen.
Can we say amen to that?
Yes.
So we're just going to pray this morning for our nation and for the nations of the world. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
That God would have
Lord.
His way in the people.
Yes, Lord.
Of that nation. Amen?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you would, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for where you've placed us. Father, you have placed us in a blessed nation. And God, we thank you for that. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would, Father God, help us, Father God, to humble ourselves before you, to honor you and none else. Father, that we turn from the things that we have been doing that are contrary to what you would have us to do, and that we would begin to listen for you, for your will by your Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us to what you would have us to do, so that righteousness might reign in our nation, Father. You said righteousness exalts a nation. So, Father, we desire righteousness. You said seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness therein. And all these things will be added to us. So, Father, the simplicity of that, Father, we seek you for that which you have so that you might heal our nation. Father, churches all across this land, people all across this land that know you, Father, we ask that you would place your hand upon them, give them a word, a fresh word from heaven, give them a word from your Spirit, Lord, to speak over our land, to speak over those around them, to speak over their neighborhoods, over their cities, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the nations of the world, the nations of the earth, Lord, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God, that the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Father, just as you have declared. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. Thank you for independence and freedom, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen and give him a clap offering if you would. Amen. Praise God.
I have a praise report, and in order to bring this praise report forward, I need to ask a very special lady friend of mine to come forward. This is the day. We're gonna dance.
Oh, we are.
This lady has been going through some issues with one of her feet, and it's been a long time that she's had to wear a boot, and she's even had where they told her maybe they would have to amputate some part of her feet and so forth. And we have stood along with a lot of the people from our body, that she would be healed. And I see today, she doesn't have that big old boot on her anymore. And way back when we would sit with her, I told her, when you get healed, I didn't say if, when you get healed, you and I are going to go up front and we're going to dance. So this is our time to dance.
The Lord is asking me to step forth in faith. I don't know what He wants to say. But I know that Debbie stepped forth in faith. When the doctor wanted to amputate her toe, she thought it was the right thing to do. But she got to thinking about it. And I believe she put her faith in the Lord. I said, He is the miracle worker. He is the God that can do all things. And that I can overcome this issue. And you see her standing before you as an overcomer. And the Lord has asked us to overcome the world and be not in the world, but outside of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the United States, but we are citizens of heaven. He is presenting an open door to us. He wants us to walk through that door and sup with Him. He has given us all power and authority over the evil one. And He wants us to step forward and use that power and authority in our lives through the kingdoms. He wants us to go out in the highways and the byways and speak His word, pronounce His holy name, and be different and set apart from all others. Can we do that? Can we walk in His righteousness? Can we shout and proclaim His name today? I feel a presence in this place today. I feel a supercharging going on. He is here. He wants to start this new way, a new walk for His church. And He will bless our nation. Thank you.
So I have a testimony and about how great God is. And over the last 5 years, I have 5 siblings. And we were very close to each other, very loving and accepting. And 5 years ago, with all the politics going on, it split us right down the middle. Where hateful words were said, you know, racism and, you know, all the lies of the devil, and just to divide us. And I was torn back and forth to whether to go up to Washington to spread my mom's ashes with them, because I just didn't want to be with them. And then God was, I had reservations, and I canceled them, made reservations, canceled them. And the last week I decided to go up there, and it wasn't my decision, it was God's. And you know, God said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we have to forgive everyone, no matter what kind of cost it cost us, or, you know, what reasons that we have to hold a wall between us. That's not what God wants. And there was a complete restoration going up there. And if I didn't go up there, it would have just further divided the family. And so I just give God all the glory and praise.
I know the sermon's about stepping forward, and some of you know I'm awfully shy. It comes across that way, I know. But I wrote this poem this past week, and I think I should read it today. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom is near. We shouldn't have fear, for your kingdom is us. We are your kingdom. It is within us. Believe it and receive it. We are your sanctuary, your temple, your kingdom. Let us fill the earth with heavenly praise, as to you our spirits raise. We were born to give you praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jump for joy. Dance with merriment. Believe it and receive it. In that day, I will restore my kingdom. You are restoring us, healing us, uniting us as one. If we only believe in your healing, believe it and receive it.
Good morning. I'm just looking. Today is Independence Day, and it has a tremendous meaning to me. The last 2 weeks, God has been putting something on my heart, and it's basically the poem that's very descriptive of how He carries you through the hard times, but walks beside you and all the others. But there's a piece of that that is missing. And the piece is the path that He makes ahead of you. He is, in fact, making a place for you. And that is what has been put on my heart. And I just wanted to share a couple of things with you. I want to go backwards a little bit to 1945. Anybody remember 1945? Well, I was just under 5 years old, and I was in India. My parents were Assembly of God missionaries there. And we were... That was between 1930s to the 1945. Now, if you remember what might have been happening between 1940 and 1945, there was a little bit of a conflict going on. I think it was called World War II. Well, we were somewhat immune to that here as far as having it on our land in the U.S. But India wasn't immune. The enemy, the Japanese, were coming through Burma at that time. They were on the Indian border. And there was a tremendous battle taking place in what is now called Myanmar. But I remember it as Burma. Well, that war took place, and on July 4th, 1945, there was a mercy ship called the Gripsholm at Bombay Harbor, and it brought us home. Now, the war with Japan was still going on. We had to run with lights out until we got into the Suez Canal. Submarines weren't going, apparently, into the Suez Canal. The war with Germany was over. And I landed, or we landed, in New York Harbor on August 4th, 1945. And I can still, even as a five-year-old, see the Statue of Liberty. We were home. Now, I didn't know we were at home because the only home I knew was India. And I'm having trouble with my English because I couldn't speak English when I got here. I spoke a real hill country dialect of Hindi, which I don't remember at all, unfortunately. So Independence Day has a tremendous meaning to me. And an interesting thing happened just 34 years ago. I can see my wife sitting back there smiling. She says, "I dare you to do that." So, but anyway, I met this young lady at my at her sister's house, where they were neighbors to my parents. And this was on July 2nd. And July 3rd, we went and visited a lot of the sites around Virginia, or at least coastal Virginia. And then on July 4th, we celebrated Independence Day. And on July 5th, I asked her to marry me. And you know what? God's path had her say yes. God has a path for us. We need to follow that path. We stray from that as an individual and as a country constantly. But you know, he leaves the 99 to go get the one. And I think my name is on the top of the one. He says, "Johnson, you got to get back." So as a nation, it's very, very important to us to follow that path, the path that he has laid, one nation under God. And with that, I really thank you for listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My child, I have made provision for you to enter into my presence. I am calling you into my presence. I've made provision for you that you might come and sit with me in a high place. Come to me and I will hide you. I will keep you. I will strengthen you, my child. For yea, I have made the provision through my Son. Come this day, today, meet with me and listen for my instruction. For I will comfort your heart. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have created you. I have designed you, and I will release to you the freedom you desire. Come to me, my child. Come. Come boldly before my throne, for I am opened the door to you. Receive that which I'm giving you. I don't know who that's for this morning, but I know that God is speaking to someone in this house, that what you've been seeking and what you've been after, God says, I have it for you. You can't get it nowhere else. It's in His presence. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know how you know that every once a month on when we have communion, we'll have another speaker. I like to get folks up here, young men, young women, older guys like Pastor John. Yeah, come on, man. He come after me. Yeah, come on. So this morning we're going to have, we have pastors that are in the house, and we've got Abe as the youth pastor, and Rebecca is the worship pastor. So we try to keep the pastors busy. How many say amen to that? Amen. So this morning we're gonna hear from Rebecca, and I will tell you, lean in. These young people that come up here and bring a word to us, man, I really sense the Holy Spirit doing something mighty in their lives, and I believe God's got something for each and every one of us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Even for us younger guys. Amen. Yeah, come on, man. Us guys, we already know it all. We've heard it all already. How many say amen to that? Yeah, well, I don't think so. That book is deep. How many say amen? That the Word of God, man, has got things and treasures for us. So let's lean into this sermon. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on up, Rebecca. Praise God. Glory to God.
I really liked some of the things that were being talked about earlier because it kind of had to do with my sermon. So good start. We got a good start. But my sermon today is, the title is Don't Turn Back, Only Forward Motion. And it's something that I think we've talked about just a lot lately in the church in general, but I think it's been said in different ways, right? So this constant, like, we got to, you know, press in, we got to go after Him, we got to know what He has for us, we got to know, you know, we got to be pushing in to the presence, right, so that we can hear what He has for us. And so when I got this sermon, I was kind of like, oh, Lord, am I just saying the same thing over and over? But, you know, I hope this blesses you this morning. It's something that it was a blessing to me, and I'm excited to share it with you guys because I think it's some things that sometimes we don't realize that there's some things in our lives that kind of weigh us down. And there's some things that we even go through in our life on a regular basis that can cause us to kind of just stop, right? Maybe it's a big, you know, life-changing event. Maybe it's just something that got us down. Maybe it's just something that we've gotten stuck on, right? Like that maybe has in some form become an idol in our life, you know? And that's the thing, is a lot of times those things can cause us to just stop. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to go. We're supposed to constantly be going forward. So we're going to talk about Moses this morning. Moses, he he had some things happen in his life, right? He went through quite a bit. But kind of what we're going to look at is he became a murderer, right? Fled his home. And God found him where he was. And he told him, he gave him direction. This is where I'm sending you. This is what I want you to do. Now do it. And Moses gave lots of excuses, right? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm right for that. You know, I don't think I can do that. All of those things. If you go back and you look at the burning bush, he gave God excuses for why I'm not right for this. Like, it's not me. And every time God just told him, nope, like, here, this is your excuse. Let me give you Aaron. You know, you feel like they're not going to listen to you? Like, here's your rod. I'll show them proof. You know, there's all these different things that he said, nope, you're not. This is what I have for you. And in our life, there's a lot of moments like that, where when we do get stuck, when we do feel like we're not sure of what we're supposed to do, God will come in and he will give us a direction. He'll tell us exactly where it is that he desires for us to go. But we got to listen. And when he gives us that direction, just like Moses, we have to make the choice to follow it. We got to have to make the choice to go, okay, regardless of what's going on here, regardless of what's happening, I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And that's kind of where we're going to go to now. We're going to go to where Moses splits the Red Sea. And so we're going to start at Exodus 14:10. And we're going to just read this story real quick because I think there's a lot of really great points in this story. But, well, let's just go to it. So, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So, just stopping real quick. You know, at this point, God brought them out, right? He delivered them and he brought them to the Red Sea and he had them camp there. But in the Bible, in this story, like when you go back and you read it, God tells Moses that he's going to turn Pharaoh's heart. He tells him that, like, I'm going to turn his heart and he's going to come after you and I'm going to show my glory in it. And that's the thing, is that God gave a promise and he fulfilled that promise. But when they didn't see what they wanted to see, it quickly turned around to, what are you doing? Why did you bring us here to die? When things like that even happen in our life, it's so easy for us to have that same like knee-jerk reaction, right? Of like, oh God, like I did what you said. You gave me a promise. And what are you doing? Like, this is not comfortable. This is not okay. But Moses even told them, like, no, like he's going to deliver you. But I like, so going forward, Moses even tells them. He goes to God. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of God went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. You know, this part of this story is just what spoke to me so much, because it's just, it is, it's typical, right? When you look at it, it's the way we react as humans. When things get difficult, when things get hard, we turn to just want to turn and go back. Let me go back to what was comfortable. Let me just return to what I knew, what was okay. But in order for us to see the kingdom begin to manifest itself on earth, we have to learn how to step out of that comfort. We have to start realizing that just like in this story, when God delivered Israel, he told them to go forward. He brought them to a place. He really did bring them to a place where it was like, just watch. I got you. Just watch and see what's going to happen. Like, it's okay. And that's it. The truth is when we really look at this story, Israel does this for quite a while, right? They like go back and forth with this, even though God continues to show his hand. But that's the thing, is that we're not meant to do that. God wants us to keep moving forward. Even when things in our lives come up, even when things happen in our lives, the things that make us want to just stop and stay where we're at, find our comfort zone, or even just stay where we're at because this is what I need right now. There's a lot of times that you'll find if you go after him that he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to keep moving. He wants you to move forward out of it so that he can give you things. Just like with Moses, that's it. It's just so awesome to me to look at it in the sense of, you know, Moses was a great man, but he did have a rough start. And if he let that define him, he could have in so many moments been like, I can't do this. God, if we let even just the way that the church sometimes looks at people nowadays because of sin or things in their life, it definitely would have been this, oh, he's a murderer. But God said, no, he's not a murderer. I've created you for a purpose. And this is the purpose I've placed in your life. This is the purpose that I have for you. Now walk in it. Now go. Start moving. And that's the thing, is he had a choice. He had a choice to say, okay, I'm going to move forward. Or he had a choice to stay where it was comfortable. But God wants us to move forward. He doesn't want us looking back. He wants us moving forward. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, it's just proof right there. You're going to go through things in life. That's how life is. But it's not meant to stop you. Just like this verse tells you, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares. It's both things. It's not just one, guys. It's not just because I'm sinning, I'm ensnared. It can also be things in your life that ensnare you. It can be things that you're watching, things that you're doing, things that can keep you in one spot and not allow you to move forward. Sometimes we don't realize it because in our mind we're thinking it's not that bad. It's not really hurting anybody. Nothing's really happening that's wrong. But the truth is it something that's keeping you from moving forward? Is it something that's keeping you from taking those steps into what God wants to give you? Just like Moses, when he was given direction and he stepped in it, he did great things. And it's the same thing with you. He desires for great things to happen in your life. He has great plans for you. He has things for you that you can't even imagine. But when we're so busy being comfortable where we're at, and doing the things that we've always done, and enjoying the things in life that we've really enjoyed that we don't want to let go of, those things can ensnare us, just like the Bible tells us. And he tells us, let it go. Let it go. I guarantee you that if you start letting go of some things in your life that you feel like you can't let go of, that you're going to see some freedom happen. Even if you don't feel like it's something bad, you're going to see freedom in your life. And you're going to see God begin to move in ways that you didn't think you could even move. Because it's not you, it's him in you. And it's the same thing with all of these things that he's talking about, with the snares, right, that we get stuck in. He doesn't desire for us to stay there. Things that happen in your life, he doesn't want you to just stay in that moment. It's kind of like when, do you remember, maybe I remember this a lot when I was a teenager, but when you got down and when you were sad and you went and you played that sad music and you just like wallowed in your sadness, you know what I mean? It's kind of that same thing. We tend to do that emotionally a lot of times. When something happens in our life, it's like we're here. That's it. And we stop. And we want to hold on to every bit. We want to learn how to figure it out on our own. And we want to learn how to... And sometimes it's that we don't want to let go. Because maybe it was something close to us. Maybe it was... But the truth is that... Forward motion is the most important thing for you. Going after God when you feel like you can't move, that's forward motion. Going after God when you don't know what to do, when you don't know what step to take next, when you don't know how to fix the brokenness, when you don't know how to carry on anymore, and you turn to him, that's forward motion. Because he's going to give you exactly what you need in every moment to make it forward. He'll give you everything. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop turning on the sad music and staying where we're at. We got to start learning, God, this hurts. This is hard. This is difficult. But I'm going to keep focusing on you in this moment. I'm not going to focus on the sad anymore. I'm not going to sit here and keep thinking of this thing that just makes me sad constantly. But I'm going to turn to you because I want to know, why did this happen in my life? And a lot of times you're not going to get a direct answer, but the truth is you will begin to see that your life doesn't just stop there. That moment doesn't define you. It doesn't just stop at that moment that you hurt. It keeps moving forward, and he's still got great things for you. He doesn't desire for you to continue walking and being sad or being down. He tells us he gives us life, and he gives us life more abundantly. So if we're living anything that's besides that, we're not moving forward. We gotta keep moving forward. That, and it's all that is focusing on him. That's all it is. All it is saying, God, I need you. I'm focusing on you. I'm going after your word because I want more of you in my life. I don't wanna just be stuck. I don't wanna just be existing. I want what you got for me. And going after him for it. Pressing in. I really like, Lonnie started going to a new gym. And her gym, the name of the gym is called Relentless. And when God was speaking to me, I remembered her coach was constantly telling them, be relentless in the pursuit of your goals. Be relentless. And he constantly talks to them about this mental toughness, right? And he's always talking to them about, like, you know, when things get really hard, those are your times to really press in, because Breakthrough happens when you really continue to press in. When something's difficult for you and you keep working at it and you keep working at it, no matter how many times you fail, if you keep working at it, like, you're going to get it. And he tells them that constantly with their tumbling and everything. And you know what? When I started, I was like, yeah, that's right, that's right. And then when we were reading this, or when I was reading all of this, I was like, man, that's how we got to be. We got to be relentless in our pursuit. We got to say, you know what? I'm going after you and I'm going after you hard. I'm not going to stop. If something comes up against me, if something knocks me down for a moment, if I get a little tired, if I get a little stuck, I'm still going after you because I'm relentlessly going after you. I want more. I want to know what you have. And it is, it's a mindset. It really is. To say, you know, the Bible talks to us about guarding the mind. And it's not just, I know when I was a kid, I really thought like, oh, it means I can't look at certain things. I shouldn't watch certain things. But the truth is, like, there's a lot of things you guard your mind from, right? I mean, just on a regular basis, even thoughts. Because there's so many times that you can be, yeah, God, I'm doing awesome. I'm doing great. Like, I've been meeting with you on a regular basis. And next thing you know, something happens and your thought process changes. And the truth is we have to learn how to guard that. We have to know when we say, no. This thinking, this way that I'm thinking isn't according to your will. It's not what you've said in the Bible. So it stops here. You know how a lot of people talk about the difference between optimistic and pessimistic? It's the same thing in your life with God. It's remembering that in a moment where you can feel like you can't go anymore, I can't accomplish it, I can't do it, changing it to, but God can. I can't do it, but you can do it. I don't know where to go, but you know where to go. I don't have the tools, but you have the tools. I don't know how to even navigate this, but you know how to navigate it. It's changing our mindset so that we can be transformed. And that's the thing, that renewing of your mind, that transformation that happens, it happens through walking and focusing on who he is. Going after his word, allowing his word to speak to us on a regular basis, allowing his word to guide us through every moment in our life, even the rough moments. Allowing his word to be what weeds out the bad things in our life. You know, the church has become so focused a lot of times on doing this with people. Well, but you shouldn't be doing this. And you know that this is not right. And why do you do this? And a lot of times it really does push people away. Because it's not us who makes the change in them. It's God who makes the change in them. And if they're going to allow God to make a change in their life, they first got to want to even know who God is. And if we're too busy criticizing them the second they come in, whew, what is that reflecting? Because that's not reflecting who he is. Because he tells us to be kind. He tells us to be patient. He tells us that above all things that we should love. Guys, that's also a form of stagnant. Not realizing that we are going after him for a relationship. That we are going after him to be independently dependent on him. Not just coming to church to play church. Sometimes, you know, the Bible, there's so many times where we look at the Bible and I think that we can all be like, man, those Pharisees, they just worked against God so much. Like, they were just always trying to trap him. They were always trying to get him. But how easily does the church become the Pharisees? I mean, come on. When we look at it, let's be honest with ourselves. How often are we trying to fit these rules and everything into the church that we forget to love on people? That we forget that what we're supposed to be doing is showing them who he is. We're supposed to be reaching the one. Man, we're supposed to be the ones who are a reflection of who God is. There are some people out there that you will be the only contact with God in their life. And when you're busy criticizing and telling them who they shouldn't be, you're not showing them the love that God has for them. Because he loves them so much. Just like we talked about this morning, he leaves the 99 to go after the one who's lost because they're the one who needs it. They're hurting. They're in trouble. They're by themselves. They need it. And so often, we're so busy thinking about the way everything should be because this is what I've been ingrained with, that we forget that we're supposed to constantly be in forward motion. Just because we got saved, that's not your only testimony. You should keep moving forward. And those testimonies will continue because just like the Bible says, precept upon precept, line upon line, it's established that way. In your life, as you go through different things, you just continue to put more and more on top of those things that he's teaching you. And he begins to bring you more and more to this point, to that finish line that he's talking about. He begins to just place more and more within your life. And those things that happen in your life, they do begin to go out. But we gotta be looking at him first. We have to be going after him. We have to look at him. We gotta know that he has something for us. So where we're at now, we shouldn't be okay just staying. We shouldn't feel comfortable just saying, God, I think I've got everything I need. No, he tells us, keep going. Keep moving forward. You know, the Bible, I was looking it up because even just in the time that I was reading, I was like, man, there's a lot of goes right here. So I was like, you know what? I want to see how many times does God actually say go? Like just go. Because there's so many times that he just told them, go and do this. Go and just whatever it was, they were fighting battles, go worship, go. But he was always giving instruction, go, go. And do you know that go shows up in the Bible 1,542 times? The Bible tells us three witnesses will anything be established, but this is 1,542 times. I think he's trying to tell us something. I think there's a constant reminder there. You're supposed to be going. You gotta go. You gotta go. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep going after him. When you don't want to is when you should go after him. When you feel like it's the hardest. When you feel like, God, I am so tired. I can't keep doing this. I can't keep going. That's when you need to go the most. Don't get stuck. And don't look back. Do you know that I used to run track and we used to do a lot of relays because I was a distance runner, so we did quite a few relays. But in those relays, like, our coach would constantly tell us, you got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to go. He'd constantly like, you got to be ready to go. And when you took off and your hand was back. You weren't looking back, but your hand was back because that person was going to pass you a baton and you had to go. And I remember one time I turned around because I put my hand out and I didn't feel the baton coming. And we were kind of closing into, like, the space was going to end where we were allowed to pass off. And I looked back and I remember my coach's name was Mr. Moore. And I remember him chewing me out. And he was like, that moment that you looked back cost you seconds. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. But that's the way it is in our life too. You know, I think this is going to be a rough area. This is a touchy subject probably because I think in the church, I've heard a lot of, you got to go back to the moment and God will deal with you on it. Let's go back and look at what happened. I think counselors do it a lot too, right? Like, let's go back and see what happened. Man, God, there's nothing for you back there. There's not. If you're hurting, if there's things you can't let go of, you know, when Moses asked God, who do I say told me these things? He said, tell them that I am the I am. And he is. He's your counselor. He knows. He knew you before you were formed. So why do we think that he can't help us with the things that we're going through? Because he knew you were going to be there way before you ended up there. So why do we then get to this point, if we know that he knew we were going to be there, why do we get to this point where we say, okay, I guess he can't do anything? He can, but stop looking back. Stop losing those seconds, that time, by going back. Because the Bible tells you right here, look forward. Stop going back, look forward. Because I have things for you up there. I have things for you that you can't even imagine yet, but you gotta move forward. You gotta stop letting it affect your life. You gotta stop letting it hold you there. You gotta stop letting it have any power in your life at all. You gotta choose that this is not gonna hold me in this spot. I'm gonna move forward. I'm gonna look at you. And let me tell you that as you look at him, those things that used to be so difficult for you, you'll begin to see just come out of your life without any effort on your part because you're just focused on him. When you try to do something on your own, I can guarantee you'll know when you try to do it on your own because you'll keep going back. Every time that you say, I'm going to stop, I'm not going to do that again, I'm going to be good from now on, and you turn around, I guarantee you that you didn't let God do it with you. Let him go before you. Because he knows what you're stuck in. He knows exactly where you're at. And if you just focus on him, a lot of times the word that he's giving you while you're focusing on him is actually undoing those things in your life. It really is, because they're promises. And those promises, as they're spoken into your life and they're revealed to you, your mindset begins to change. It's not you. It's not anything that you can do. But as you begin to allow for him to do that and change your mindset, the things that used to seem so difficult before, you have no problem with anymore. So stop thinking you got to change it on your own. Because you don't. It's not you, it's him. Keep your eyes on him. That is the forward motion. Is that constant, God, I'm going into the word again. I'm diving in again. Today, I'm going to go in again. And it's that expectation, that relentlessness that allows you to keep moving forward. Because when you think he's not speaking to you, he is. Those words that are going in, man, they're being written upon your heart. And as they're keep continuing to be put in there, it's getting other stuff out. It's weeding other things out. And then as you continue to go through things in your life, they're pulled forth in the moment that you need them. Because the Bible tells you that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you placing in your life? What are you allowing you to hold you there? What are you allowing to keep you stagnant? Don't let it keep you stagnant. Don't let it keep you there. Know that if you're here and you're still breathing, you still have purpose. You still have something that God's doing for you. You still have something that God's wanting to give you. You still have direction that he's placing in front of you. He still has greatness that he's placing in front of you. It doesn't stop with the events that happen in your life. It doesn't. Moses got married. He got comfortable. And God still said, nope, I got something for you. You're going to do this. This is what I created you for. So the excuses, the things that you feel, if you feel unqualified to do what he's calling you to do, let me tell you, I think pretty much everybody always feels that way. You're not the only one. But in him, we are more than conquerors. The key is always him. It is always him. We always got to be pressing in, looking at him. I'm just going to read. I have one more scripture. Actually, I have two more. Sorry. I'm going to do two more. Okay. And then I promise I'll be quick. Maybe three. Philippians 3:12-16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Right there again. That's just another one. Press forward. Let go of the things behind and go forward. And if you're feeling any different, press in. And he tells us in this scripture that God will reveal even this to you. It's not hidden from you. All of the mysteries of the kingdom, he's got the keys and you got the keys. You just got to go after him. The Holy Spirit will work. He'll speak. He'll reveal, revelation will come into your life, transformation will come into your life, and you will continue to move forward. Just allow him to do it. You got to go after him for it. And it says, he will reveal this even to you. It's not just revealed to me. It's not just revealed to my dad as the pastor. That's why we talk to you so much about having that relationship with God. Because when we speak up here, you go home and you verify. God, is this what you're saying? God, is this what you're wanting in my life? God, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. And he will reveal those things to you personally, so that what somebody else is so excited about and you're scratching your head about, you will also be excited for, because he'll show you in the way that you need it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. Don't hold on to old things. It's not helping you to hold on to them. Let them go. If you know there's something in your life holding you back and you're feeling stuck, this morning, I want to encourage you, go after him. Go after him for that forward motion in your life, so that you can begin to move forward, so that he can give you the peace that passes all understanding, so that he can give you joy. Because that's what he desires for you. Last scripture. Isaiah 42:6-9. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. He's got new things, and they're springing forth. Just like with Moses, he told them what was going to happen. This isn't going to be easy. You're going to go and you're going to have to give these signs. And I'm hardening Pharaoh's heart towards you. And even when Pharaoh just lets them go, God still tells him, I'm going to turn his heart and he's going to come after you. But Moses had to keep pressing forward. Just like this scripture talks about, he's going to give us those things that are springing forth. They're new things. He's going to speak to him. He's going to speak to us, and he's going to give us those things. So as these things happen in our life, we know how to navigate them, because you're not navigating them on your own. If you've begun to navigate things in your life on your own, let me tell you, you're making it so much harder on yourself, because he's got things for you. He's got tools. Don't harden your heart. Don't let yourself hold on to things so much to the point that you let all of that pass you by. Know that he's got more for you. That where you feel you don't know what to do, he's got more. That when you feel like, I don't know how to let these things go, he's got more. He's not done with you. Don't get stuck. Don't become stagnant, and don't look back. Look forward. Go after him for what he has for you. Keep pressing into the word. Keep going after him. And I promise you that those things that you're worried about will begin to just pass away. They're just gonna begin to be something that seemed so little compared to what it was then. Because now your mindset has changed. Because as you're going after him, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal things in your life. And instead of keeping on to those old things, you're becoming new. You're allowing that washing, that purification to happen in your life, so that you can have all the things that he promised, so that you can walk in those things that he's given you, so that you can get to the finish line, and that you can be more than a conqueror when you get there. So keep going after him.
Ooh, casting every weight. Amen? Getting every weight that so easily besets us. Getting rid of the weight and allowing those new things to come in. How many say amen to that? You know, how many get things in your mind every once in a while? You say, why am I even thinking that? I mean, I don't got enough space in my brain as it is to be thinking stuff like that. Amen? Casting off every, just allowing those things to fall off. Hallelujah, so that he can bring new things. How many want new things? Hallelujah. It's time, folks. It really is. It really doesn't do any good to bring up anything from the past. How many say amen to that? Doesn't do you any good to bring up things from the past. Well, I'm not talking about birthdays and knowing people's stuff like that. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about things that have hurt you. She's talking about things that have hurt you. Things that are whole, those are things that easily beset you, because you'll get into a mode and you'll get right back into that thing then, and you'll relive it, re-experience it. And the Word of God doesn't want you, God doesn't want you going there. He says, hey, what can you do about that? Just leave it alone. Keep going forward. Amen. How many want to go? I mean, I'm talking about going out of the building. How many want to go? Come on, hallelujah. I think it's time to go. I think it's time to let go of all those things and allow God just to bring the new. Amen? Just come on. Would you stand and let me pray for you real quick? And then we're going to release you. And we want everybody to grab a little bucket of watermelon. Is that all right on your way out? Is that okay? If you want to hang around, eat, talk, let's do that. Let's fellowship a little bit. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray. Just as Rebecca spoke this morning, those things that have come into our lives that we've kind of gone back to over and over again, over and over again. Some of those things you just need to release and just let go. How many want to release some things this morning? It's time to release them. Amen. Wouldn't you say that? I was mad at God for taking my brother. I was mad at him. Till he spoke something to me in my living room and he said, Henry, do you trust me? I said, oh God, I trust you. And that anger towards him just dissolved into a peace that passes all understanding. How many say amen to that? You know what? Just let God release those things and let God fill that spot with a peace that passes all understanding. Is that okay? So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing this morning, Father. Father, we release the things that are hindering us and holding us back. And Father God, we look to you just to fill that spot, Lord, with a peace that passes all understanding, with the knowledge that you have washed and cleansed those things. And then we're going forward. So thank you for that this morning. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Father, I know some folks have gone through hard things. But God, you know those things. You, Father God, you are able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Father, so the release is real. The release is real. I'm saying that to you this morning. I believe the Lord is saying the release is real. What you've released is released. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, now be filled with the joy of the Lord, with the joy that strengthens your heart. Be filled with peace like a river that flows and flows and flows, and a continual flowing of peace in every one of your hearts in the name of Jesus this morning. I mean, say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. I would say to the neighbor before you, look at him with an eye, say, go. Go. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.